Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, where world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan answers your questions and offers healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure what to use for flea, tick, and heartworm prevention? Join Dr. Judy now as she interviews the top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. I'm Dr. Judy, and you can hear my show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern by going to dreamvision7radio.com. Today, I'm really excited because I have a guest who has done some remarkable things for the pet owners of the world. And I'm not even sure that this was his original intention and this is where he thought he was going to go with life, but things happen, and I'm so glad that things happen the way that they do. So my guest today is Cole Harrington, and he is actually a director of and the owner of Harrington Films, and he produced the documentary Pet Fooled. So, Cole, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am doing just great. So, I know that, you're basically your industry specialty is film, but did you really, when you got into the film world, was your plan to make a documentary about pet food?
Well, similar to what you said before, there was no plan for that in particular. If I look back, it all seems like a blur. I moved to Los Angeles like 10 years ago, and I was in school for a few years, and then I, worked on movies for experience. And I always in school would gravitate towards documentaries. Similar to what I did as a kid, I just had a camera. I would film my little cousins. So it was just very natural for me to do that. And a friend of mine, one of the first friends I made in Los Angeles, a guy by the name of Mikhail Fawcett, he always saw me out and about either in school interning on documentaries or making my own to try to get experience with the camera and such. So he's the one that actually came across the topic because he had an issue with his dog, and his dog had an itchy stomach, and he started looking into pet food, and then he came to me and was like, I don't know anyone that loves documentaries more than you. I think this would make a good movie. And I'm like, really? Pet food?
Yeah, like who cares?
Yeah. I'm like, that sounds like you're pushing it because what could be wrong there? So
right.
little did we know.
So basically, I think if I remember the original story, he was told by the veterinarian to change the food, right?
Well, he went to his vet 3 or 4 times, and they were doing this cream or this pill or whatever, and the rash wouldn't go away. And, he lived on a property where there was a garden, so he's like, well, is it something in the garden? And he went on hikes every day, so is it something on the hike? And it wasn't until he actually went to the groomer that the groomer was a little bit more rigid, where she was like, I see this every day. It's the crappy food. And you just need to look into, and she was suggesting look into a grain-free food. So that's what really sort of kicked this all off was the confusion of whenever you look, what is a grain-free food?
Right.
And then
right.
Anything and everything on the internet showed up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
our initial interest was where do the dogs and cats that are rendered, and I'm talking about a lot of dogs and cats in Los Angeles are euthanized and then taken to a rendering plant, what happens with the remains of that.
Right.
So we were following that angle, and everything really changed when I came across the lovely AFCO book. So that's where I knew, oh, this is how this works. Oh, okay. So that was my first aha moment was the AFCO book.
Yeah, so the AFCO book is the American Association of Feed Control Officials, for those who are not aware, and it basically is a book full of definitions where they define the ingredients that can go into pet food. And, so industry representatives, so for instance, representatives from the waste oil industry, restaurant scraps, basically people who are looking to get rid of their trash and make money for it, want to get their trash to have a definition that the consumers can't really figure out what it is. And my favorite example is the chicken feathers that were used as a hydrolyzed protein diet, as a hypoallergenic diet for dermatologic and GI problems. And so it used to say on the bag, hydrolyzed chicken feathers. And those of us who like to out these people kind of said, hey, do you guys know you're paying $90 a bag for, 10 pounds of chicken feathers? And people got upset with that. So the company came back a couple of years, actually this just happened recently, and they said, we need to change that definition. And now we would like it to be hydrolyzed poultry protein isolate. So, of course, as a consumer, you have no idea what that is, but it says poultry. So you're thinking, okay, well, it's, some sort of chicken, duck, turkey, but you have no idea that actually what you're feeding is chicken feathers, which is just a waste product.
Yeah, that's a great example of how this works. That's very well put. And it's that times 1,000 because it's anywhere and everywhere, and it really comes down to, these little terms and spinning the terms and, how they're presented to the consumer. So it's endlessly fascinating, I say.
Well, it is. So you discovered the little AFCO book, and then you decided, wow, we really need to go on a journey. So where did you head next after that?
In the research, I think we did like a year of research, and we had no idea. We're like, well, what are we going to do? And there was a feed and poultry convention in Atlanta, and I think this was in a January, I would say seven, 8 years ago. And so we were like, well, let's just go to this and see who we can meet, So the FDA was there speaking, and all of these people were there. Like, it was like, as far as your eye could see, it was just machines to do with feed and poultry, production. So these machines we'd never knew. Like, it's pretty cool and interesting on one level.
Right.
And then, the National Renders Association was there. And so Mikhail and I would just go up to everyone. And everyone, would greet you with a smile, and I just will never forget going up to the National Renders Association. Hi, how are you? And that's how they greeted Mikhail and I, and we're like, hey, we're Cole and Mikhail, and we're looking to make a movie about the pet food industry, and just the blood rush from her face. Like, that smile went away so fast. And you go to people, and you're like, listen, we're just trying to understand the reality of this, because there is a reality to, there is human waste. So this is one way of dealing with the human waste. It's interesting that it's marketed as food and perfect, but the reality is, where is the waste going? So we're not opposed to reality. Let's talk about it. But of course, they don't want to talk about it. And we almost got arrested at this convention because, as you say, these companies, they want to figure out where they can sell their waste and make money. And next thing you know, police were there to kick us out. And I'm what are you doing? And they're like, you're making a film. And I'm like, do you see cameras anywhere?
Yeah,
like,
we're
not those
questions.
Type of people. Yeah, we're not trying to be Michael Moore to get one up on you. We're literally approaching you to have a conversation. And one guy didn't like it, and he thought he was being so smart by trying to do that, but I still have his card somewhere, so he might get a call from me. remember me? I'm back. But we started there, and we had many people in Chicago randomly. AFCO was in Chicago. Through research, we found veterinarians. They were in Chicago. I was trying to get some pet food companies, but their veterinarians were in Chicago. This lawyer that we wanted was in Chicago, another lawyer. We're like, we don't know what is up with Chicago, but we're just going to go to Chicago for a week. And pretty much a year in after we originally were looking into this, we just went to Chicago and filmed as much as we could, and the majority of the film is from that one shoot in Chicago, that one week.
Which is amazing. And I finally got around to watching. I had seen all the trailers and stuff, and I finally got around to watching the entire film a couple of weeks ago. And it's excellent, and it's it's amazing. And your story about going to the feed convention is pretty cool. If they had nothing to hide, they would not get defensive as soon as you say, hey, I want to make a film or I want to do some research. And, you know, so I would love to get into some of these pet food plants and actually film the making of the pet food. And you can find some old, you know, like undercover videos on the internet, but they're hard to find, and they're, you know, it's hard for people to get in and get them because they're trying to hide so much.
Well, yeah, it's that, and it's funny, when we interviewed Pet Food Institute, which is the lobbying group, and by the way, I think you'll have to watch a film called Merchants of Doubt to understand how a lobbying group works, but their sole job is to deflect and spin. So a lot of their interview with me, I had to basically cut out of the movie or not include in the movie because it's a form of spreading doubt. So that's why. I'm like, why in the world would they meet with me? It was so weird. But then while I was editing the movie, and, you know, I wanted to be as balanced as possible, and I'm like, you know what, including this, it sets their goal. Because they had the nerve to sit in front of me and say no dogs have died from chicken jerky. And I was like, could we
really?
Do you want to redo that? I'm not really trying to make you look like a fool here.
Yeah, really.
And they're like, no, the FDA hasn't found anything. And I'm like, well, I've met with many people who are people. Have you called these people? Have you met with them? The FDA says. So I realized there that they don't care about truth or reality. It's about what they can just blow smoke at.
Right. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't even know what I was going with this. You might have to, like, re-ask the question. But I asked them – actually, I remember now. I asked them, could we go speak to one of these companies you represent? And they were like – it's sort of in a laughing way, like, that will never happen. And it's like, okay. I just had to ask, and glad to know it. So the fun part after making the movie is a lot of companies are doing this Talk to Us campaign where, you know, it's – sort of birthed out of that. I didn't really have any plans after I released the movie. I'm on to my next movie, and it didn't include pet food. But then, you know, consumers start calling and pet food companies start calling, and the Talk to Us campaign is an effort to merge those. So companies are wanting to be transparent, and consumers are wanting to know how the foods are made. So this is a way for consumers to figure out, like, if you go in a store, okay, it's a bag, but maybe what? Who are these companies? And
right.
Where are they and what are they doing?
So I know that some of the small companies, for sure, you know, the companies that really do care and are not using rendered products, they for sure want to be transparent. Are you getting that same kind of feedback from the big companies that are trying to hide stuff and are using rendered products?
Well, no big companies called me. Now, the questions, I still get questions each and every day about this brand or that brand. And, you know, because of Netflix, the film's in 82 countries. So someone was writing me in Portuguese the other day, and I'm like, but they're asking about, American-made products. You know, if I have questions for the companies, I call them, and they can either answer the questions or they can't. And it's going into an archive on the Petfood page, so you can go to the Petfood page and see the Talk to Us campaign, so you can see all the episodes. You can see interviews with companies and the CEOs or the formulators, or, you know, I'm trying to get as much information out there on that. And then if you don't see your company on the Talk to Us campaign, which is fine. I mean, people can participate. They cannot participate. It doesn't matter. You know, any company can answer questions or not answer questions. So I have a separate page by brand. So let's say you're feeding Meow Mix, for example. Well, Cole here, little old me, I've called Meow Mix, and it's quite fascinating. So I'm basically just doing the research, calling, asking the questions, like how many carbs are in Meow Mix, because cats don't have a biological requirement for carbohydrates. And, you know, their response...
A better question is, Cole, how low is that percentage of meat in there?
Well, that, and, you know, their question is this Cole... And I'm like, does it matter? And they're like, you can call the media department. And it's like, you call the media department, and they're like, oh, your intentions are clear in contacting companies like us. And it's like, yeah, my intentions are clear. I want to ask a question and get an appropriate answer without marketing spin. So can you do that? But they want to paint me as, you know, someone with an agenda. And the only agenda is, can you answer basic questions? It's not that difficult. But, you know, they're well-distributed, and they make a ton of money. But I don't think they've ever been questioned like this before. So I'm not going away anytime soon, unfortunately,
well,
for them.
that's a good thing. And, you know, and that was the thing when I attended my first AFCO meeting about 6 or 7 years ago. You know, the keynote speaker was the guy from the FDA. And so, you know, this is my first time there. And Susan Thixton from Truth About Pet Food had invited me to come. And I said, okay, so it was my first time meeting her. And at that meeting, Karen Becker and Rodney Habib were there, and that was the only time they've gone to AFCO, but it was their first meeting as well. So we have a bunch of newbies, but there really were only maybe 8 of us that were on the consumer side. And so the guy from FDA in his keynote speech, you know, he said a line that I'll never forget, and he said the humanization of pets by pet owners is just over the top, and it's making them want to feed their pets real food just like they would eat themselves. And so now they're starting to question what we put in the pet food. And this is ridiculous. We shouldn't have to answer to these people. And I thought, well, wait a minute. They're the consumers. They're the people that are buying this food. They're the decision makers. I think you should be answering their questions. And so I really went there with the idea that I was going to sit on my hands and not say a word. And they have, I don't know if you've been to a meeting, but they have microphones. And so you can go up and ask questions and speak your mind. And so I'm sitting next to Susan, and I was so mad. I was trembling. And she just poked me and said, yeah, go talk. And I'm like, ugh. So, you know, I went up there, and I was so upset. You know, the tears were flowing, and I was mad that I was, you know, that the tears were flowing. But I was just so angry that I could not control myself. And I was like, you know, the humanization of pets you should be happy about, because these are the people, they're buying more products, they're buying better products, and they're only asking questions because they care, and you should care that they care. And I said, you know, you're not on the front lines. I'm a veterinarian. I'm the one standing in the office every day seeing these animals with horrible infections in their skin and their ears, and they have bladder stones and, you know, bladder infections, and they're just chewing themselves raw, and they're oozing, and they're being put to sleep because the pet owners can't stand the veterinary bills, and they can't stand the smell of the pet, and they can't stand that their pet is so miserable all the time, so they're either turning them into shelters, or they're having them euthanized. I said, I'm on the front lines, and I deal with this every day. You should care. And, you know, so I, and he just kind of stared at me, and when I turned around and went back to my seat, he was like, next.
Well,
they really just don't care.
Well, why would an FDA member say something like that? What's it to them if...
I know.
That's
yeah.
A little bit odd.
Yeah. But, you know, they just do not like the fact that people are questioning them. And so I've called companies and said, you know, okay, where do you source all of your ingredients? So I was following up on a chicken jerky thing, and so I called the company that makes the dingoes, which are basically these little rawhide things that are basically wrapped around chicken jerky, and it's got red dyes and all kinds of stuff in it. And so I know for a fact that it used to be made in China, because there were some old ones still in my grocery store that said made in China right on the package. So when I called the company, I said, I just want to find out where you source your ingredients. And, you know, I get, the marketing department, because I didn't say that I was a veterinarian. I just called as a consumer. And, you know, their answer was, none of our ingredients are sourced from China. I said, that's not what I asked. I asked where your ingredients are sourced. And she wouldn't tell me. She would not tell me.
And they don't want to.
Yeah.
You know? Now, there's two sides to that. Now, the smaller, more transparent companies, some of them will tell you all the farms.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Some want to, but you have to realize it's a competitive industry. So
sure.
There's that reality, too. So for the consumer, it's trying to figure out, you know, just sort of like, well, how do I know if what you're telling me is the truth? And part of what I've been researching a lot lately is USDA-inspected facilities, because it gives the consumer an approach to feeding that sort of alleviates those questions. Now, there's two sides to that, too, which is it made in a USDA-inspected facility using more appropriate ingredients, including bone and organ meat, etc.? Or is it, you know, made in a human kitchen with macaroni and rice? You know, those are less appropriate for dogs to eat. So,
right.
Or in excluding, because some of these gently cooked companies are very prideful of the fact that they are made in a, you know, human facility, and they're transparent, which is great, but we want the most appropriate ingredients. We don't, you know,
right.
Then it becomes a kibble 2.0 where,
right.
You know, it's all of these inappropriate ingredients that are very, very expensive. And you know, they don't have organ meat or any bone or anything. It's just right. Got to get it through a synthetic source. So,
yeah,
topic of pet food.
Well, and you know, it becomes such a problem for the pet food consumer because, you know, I know a lot about pet food and I know what the pet should eat and I know what the ingredients should be in there, but the average consumer doesn't. So, you know, so many of these new companies are popping up that are like, oh, you know, here's our fresh little home cooked meal. It looks just like what you would cook for yourself. Don't you want your dog or cat to have, you know, ingredients that are just as you know, healthy as what you're eating? But then I look at them and it's like, well, yeah, if I want my dog to have, or my cat to have half of his meal from rice or potatoes or peas or carrots. And so a lot of these, they're, you know, they're hitting a high price point, but they're not a whole lot better. I mean, they're a little better because they're a little fresher and they're not rendered and it's not a meal and it's not dehydrated. But there's still problems with these diets. And then the synthetics, like you said, that's another, I'm so against the synthetics. And it's hard to find companies that aren't adding synthetic vitamin mineral mixes.
Yeah. And, you know, to the FDA point of whatever that, I can't believe an FDA person would say that, but I can believe it at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
I just, you know, I'm very interested to know in what position they were in. But I'm thinking if they're giving the keynote, I may know who it is because I've seen a few keynotes by...
yeah, it was a guy. He's been in charge there a lot. You know what? I don't remember.
Was it Dan?
It was probably Dan.
Schmickmashmay.
Yeah,
very interesting, I have to say. I think he was at a Purina marketing event the other day. It's very...
Interesting.
Or last month or something. Anyway,
yeah.
It's like, why is the FDA at Purina's marketing event?
Yeah, no collusion there at all. All right, we need to take a quick break.
Okay.
This is fascinating. I could talk about this all day. Okay, you're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Cole Harrington for this fascinating talk about the pet food industry.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's dental drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. Today I am speaking with Cole Harrington, the director and producer of the film Pet Fooled, which if you haven't seen it, you need to get it. I just downloaded it from Amazon. It's fascinating. So we're talking about FDA, USDA. There's differences in who does what. So the USDA is United States Department of Agriculture, and they really control the human food market. But it's really interesting. So I'm a big fan of raw feeding. And the interesting thing with the raw feeding for pets is that USDA allows meat that is contaminated with bacteria to be sold in the grocery store, and they know that it's contaminated, but the assumption is that as humans, to eat that meat, we are going to cook it, we are going to use safe handling practices, we're going to clean up our cutting board and our utensils and our kitchen counters after we chop up that poultry, and you know, we know that we can get sick from eating raw meat, so we're supposed to cook it to, you know, its internal temperature of whatever the heck that is. I'm sort of a rare meat eater, so I don't even know what that is. But for pets, the FDA has a zero tolerance for bacteria in raw pet food, and their reasoning for that is that it is assumed that it will not be cooked and it will be fed raw, and so we'll be handling meat and our dogs will be eating it, so they have a zero tolerance. Now, this is such a huge double standard. And it's, you know, basically what they're saying is, okay, the pet food consumer is too stupid to clean up their kitchen after handling raw meat for their dog, but they're not too stupid to clean up their kitchen after handling raw meat for the family, which is contaminated.
And the excuses have changed over the years. At first, you know, they've really modified their marketing on this because every agency's kind of, I don't know if the USDA's had a statement on it or not. I think they might be the only one, but I'm talking about the FDA's had their statements against raw food, the AVMA, now the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association, the CDC. Anyone and everyone, maybe just the AHVMA and the USDA haven't come out hard for...
Yeah, the holistic veterinarians, they're not going to denounce it because we're all the raw feeders.
and it's kind of funny because, I mean, it gets to be such a double standard because it's just crazy that, you know, now, I mean, it's something that I'm investigating now, so I'm going to, like, pick my words very choice words because it's something that I'm looking into. However, in Canada, there's no FDA compliance policy that, you know, there's no version of that. In Australia, there's not. Somehow people are not dying left and right. I think in Canada there was a kid years and years ago that died from touching a pig ear that was contaminated with salmonella, so they gathered, you know, the human food industry and whacked the pet food industry into it too. And the conclusion was pet food is regulated at the same level as human food. So there's the same risk associated. Wow, what a thought there. Now, the interesting thing with the FDA is the zero tolerance is not a law. That is their opinion of the law. That is a compliance policy. It is non-binding. However, whenever I interviewed the FDA and I was expressing that they couldn't just mandatorily recall a product that, in regards to like chicken jerky that was just getting complaints left and right, they said we have our certain tactics of, you know, using things in order to get what we want. I'm like, is that media? And they're like, yeah, if you go against a company in a public way like that, they will most always do as you want them to do. And I've seen that happen a lot. Now it's like the murder movie where you look back and it's like, oh, I remember he admitted to that. And it's very fascinating to look back upon and see that they use that. Now I'm seeing it being used against all the raw food companies. And the thing that's interesting is for a company to recall a product, it has to be a harm. So it has to be proven. The FDA, if anyone looks at any of these recalls for raw foods, it says potential for salmonella. It doesn't say it is a proven form of salmonella. It doesn't say it's an alive salmonella. It doesn't say it's dead. It doesn't say that it's growing or pathogenic. It doesn't say anything. It says potential. So the FDA is not, in, from what I've seen, and FDA, if you're listening, send me an email with some evidence for this. I'm not seeing where they're actually proving that it's harmful. They're just considering everything to be a contaminant, which is ridiculous.
Exactly.
That's not a normal – there's bacteria in the world everywhere.
Exactly.
I think there's a legitimate worry from companies that since there's no rules in place to make a safe food or an unsafe food, sure, there are some worries that anyone and everyone can just start a pet food company and just start – you know, doing crazy things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
I see some really nasty stuff that people are feeding, and I'm like,
Well, that's why it would be a genius idea for someone to come up with a safe, practical way to make a raw pet food so you could mitigate the risk and not have these issues. But instead, they're doing it in reverse. So they're FDA's reactionary, and they're attacking the end products. And I just want to reiterate that it's not a law. The law says it has to be a proven form of harm.
Right.
But their compliance policy that they're using as a fear tactic and a pressure tactic for companies says zero. But they allow anything and everything in dry food, you know.
Oh, sure.
It's not coming from common sense. It's not coming from health. It's coming from fear.
It's coming from politics. Yeah, it's other companies who are saying, oh, my gosh, they're taking a share of our market.
Isn't it fascinating that everyone has been against raw food publicly, and they still are, so FDA, CDC, and it's still growing? Because
exactly,
it's not what they're trying to propagate is not adding up. You know?
Well, exactly, and people are getting smarter and more educated, and they're kind of putting their hands up and saying, hey, we're mad as, and we're not going to take it anymore, you know, and so. Which, thank goodness, and unfortunately, it's going to be up to the consumer to vote with their dollars and, with what they believe. Trying to convince the veterinary profession is very difficult. So we have to do it from the consumer level, and the consumers are going to have to fight back. And I get these emails every single day. I get phone calls, you know, and people saying, you know, I went to my veterinarian and I told them that I'm raw feeding. And so here's a good example. One of my clients, I took one of my dogs went in for ear surgery that I don't do, and he's raw fed. So he had to spend the night. So I sent a little baggie of food in with him, and I decided I would send like little freeze dried briquettes because I thought, well, you know, then they don't have to put it in the freezer, they don't have to put it in the refrigerator, but it was a freeze-dried raw. And I thought, well, this will be, you know, kind of an easy way for them to deal with it. All they have to do is add water. Well, you would have thought that we handed them a box of dynamite. They put on surgical gowns, gloves, like all the contamination stuff, little booties, gloves, hats, masks, and held it by their fingertips and said, no, we cannot keep this here. You will have to take it back home. And then while the dog was there, every time someone handled the dog, they did that entire get-up, all of that stuff to protect themselves from my raw-fed dog. It was the most ridiculous, absurd. Like, I really should have filmed that because it was really just over the top.
Gosh. And vets are learning more, too. I mean, it's a very interesting, never-ending topic of discussion, but it's sort of like, that's why I think I'm fascinated by this topic. It's sort of, I'm fascinated by culture and politics and the potential for corporate manipulation and marketing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's never ending in this area. And it's even more fascinating because it's so, if you kind of look back, it's like this pet food and you're acting literally as if it's like nuclear radiation, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's a, I don't know, $60 billion industry or whatever the heck. I mean,
yeah.
it's ridiculous numbers.
And,
You know, and the thing is, the three big pet food companies, I mean, yeah, the smaller companies are making some inroads, but it's not big enough to make a dent in their profits. 97% of the pets in the world are still eating the big three.
And I'll break it down for you. So this is something that personally upsets me a little bit, is when consumers write me, and I can't get too upset because it used to be me. Because in the movie, Dr. Royal, at the end, she's like, I know, I get that question all the time. People want to know, what is the answer? Because I was asking, could you just give me an answer? What are you talking about? And it took a lot of time for my brain to be wrapped around this, is that it's not about a brand, it's about an approach to feeding. Mm-hmm. It's about knowing and being aware, and, you know, it's not about saying, I know that this brand is doing good. Well, a brand can change at any point in time.
Exactly.
You could be feeding something is marketed as lovely, schmoosh, muffalo, and then it could be something else. You know, you just don't know. Who'd have known that there was, you know, something they were marketing not to be in the food is in the food. So, I know. So the consumer is always wondering, well, what brand? They want a shortcut. And this industry exists, and grocery stores exist, because we're not farming. We're not going and catching and killing. We're going to a store and getting something that's made for us. People want it done for them. Only until you do the research, and it takes time to do the research, it's challenging, it sucks, it's overwhelming, what average consumer is going to do this amount of research? So the industry knows that. The industry markets towards that. You know, they are probably likely doing a lot of, what do you call those, like, I notice in politics, whenever it's like a test and like these polls, they know people are not going to go out and ask these hard questions. But I'm thinking, if hard questions become normal, you know, is it a USDA inspected facility or not? You know, because this means one thing, and this means you can get away with a lot of stuff if you choose to. So
yeah,
if
but
that
then you get
normal,
the interesting problem, you know, so that USDA inspected facility. So Evinger's had on their website USDA inspected meats, from USDA inspected facility, except maybe not
made in a USDA inspected facility. So people can manipulate terminology and say we use USDA inspected meat. That doesn't mean it's made in a USDA inspected facility. So if a company does not have a USDA inspection number that you can verify with the USDA, then, I mean, red flag.
It's so sad that consumers actually have to go so far as to, you know, look up the USDA number and verify it.
Because, you know, I will say we all have the ability.
I should be able to trust them.
You should be, but we all have the ability to do it ourselves. Now, if you're not doing it yourself and you're relying on the convenience of someone else doing it for you, wouldn't it be nice if there was rules that said this is a proper way to feed your animal? Right. No, this is a leftover of the feed industry. It's very convenient for the big companies, sure. But all of that aside, you can do it yourself. Now, if you don't want to do it yourself, sorry, but it's my responsibility to know what's in my toothpaste. Do I ever think about toothpaste? No. I don't know what's supposed to clean your teeth. So, you know, it comes down to that. We live in a convenience world, but we can't play the victim here in regards to, well, they were doing the right thing and the wrong thing. Now, legally, let's take Lumber Liquidators. They make hardwood floors, very, very similar to the chicken jerky issue in the film. But 60 Minutes did a big expose in China. They were making this wood flooring, marketing it as one thing, but making it as another. And the ingredients, I don't know if you'd call wood flooring ingredients that they use, seeped into the air and caused people to get really sick, if not die. And I'm talking about kids were in the commercials. It's a safe hardwood floor, but the reality of the product. Now, the company allegedly knew that they were purchasing this. They knew it wasn't, but they marketed it anyways. And I believe it was Anderson Cooper who went to China and then confirmed with the Chinese, oh, they know that, but they told us to market it. It wasn't like an adulterated where the Chinese were trying to make less money or more money by doing this. However, you're killing people, so that shouldn't be allowed. So it sort of seeps over into pet food as well. At what point are we going to wake up and demand that these waste ingredients that we have no idea what is caused by them, health-wise, are allowed or not allowed? So, I mean,
exactly.
I don't think people are willing to stand up and really do it. It's easy to sit behind a computer and type or puts a comment on Facebook, but then you go to the store and you just purchase something else that's by a big company, you know?
Exactly. All right, we need to take another break for our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. And my guest today is Cole Harrington, who made the documentary Pet Fooled. And this is just fascinating. I think I could talk to Cole for about 10 hours. So, but I understand that there is a sequel coming out to Pet Fooled. And I've talked to some of the smaller pet food companies that are completely transparent about their food and being filmed and that sort of thing. So what are we looking at for this sequel? What kind of things are we going to see in that one without, you know, giving too much of a spoiler alert?
Yeah, well, I think after first, I never thought I'd make a part two to this. It's, I just cannot get over the fact that I'm someone that doesn't have a pet. But I think the naive aspect of me approaching this has allowed for it to be sort of broken down, because I approach everything in life as sort of like, well, what's the point of this again? Or why is this the way it is? So it's a little bit more naive, but I think that helps, because you can get really, really bogged down. Obviously, if anyone listening to this now knows, you know, it gets really crazy. But after the film is released, I mean, anyone and everyone's writing, what brand or what should I do? You know, so part two is about, you know, if part one was a look at a questionable industry, part two is going to be a deeper look at a questionable industry. So it's about more of the approach to feeding. So now that we've gotten species appropriate out of the way, and we know what's more appropriate for the species versus what is less appropriate for the species, well, where do we go from there? So it's not about a brand in particular, but it's about an approach to feeding. Now, which brands are doing a certain approach to feeding and what brands are really marketing? We live in a world where companies get on the market and they're doing the best that they can do because they believe in that. Then we get companies that literally just market.
Right.
So, you know, we need to be aware of those. And, you know, I think part two, I've been talking to store owners and manufacturers a little bit more to get their viewpoints, because the first film was more from the veterinarian standpoint. Now it's sort of like, well, how does the consumer fit into all of this?
Right.
You know, and, you know, the sort of tagline that I have that opens the film is sort of like, you know, if I tell you the truth, what are you going to do? And even with it, you know, at what point are you just going to say this is too much before you just buy whatever is marketed towards you? You know, that's the constant world we live in.
It is, unfortunately. And, you know, so I tell my followers and my listeners, look, if you see a pet food suddenly on every TV commercial, like you're watching, you know, primetime TV, and this company has four commercials in that hour, you can bet they're spending more on advertising than they are on ingredients.
Yeah, but people respond to advertising. That's the win
that
the industry has. It's people will just be in the store. I mean, I felt this in the detergent aisle, like, good Lord, there's 50 detergents or 50 toothpaste. And then what do I do? And now I've started buying from companies that I can actually call and figure out and trust in regards to the moral aspect of the entire industry. But these are massive industries, so or massive companies. So
yeah, and trying to figure out who you should even talk to is sometimes pretty hard to do.
I mean, investigating pet food in the way these conglomerates have ran away from talking about important things has affected my purchasing habits in regards to other products as well. So
that's awesome.
But that's just
awesome. Me. Yeah, but you know what? That's a good thing. And I have to say, you know, when I really started, you know, 10 years ago, when I started really looking at pet food and I started, you know, looking at what was going in their bowls, it did make me look a lot more critically at what's going in my bowl. And, you know, so now I look at this and I'm like, well, you know, why would we not eat organic if we can? And why would we, you know, go knowingly buy things that are GMO. We have no idea how those GMO things are going to affect us down the line. I think, you know, 15 years from now, we might be looking back and saying, what were we thinking? And we, you know, we do that with a lot of things. We look back and, you know, let's look at thalidomide and, you know, some of those things that came out in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that we now go, oh my gosh, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
And we're going to find that with this.
In terms of, like, dry foods and stuff, I mean, people want to say that I'm like, I hate all dry foods. I think it is, as per my research, a convenience product. Now,
absolutely.
We're humans. We get to make, I mean, people are feeding their dogs vegan diets that are dry foods, and dogs are not classified as a vegan animal. Humans will force their points of view onto animals, no matter what the points of view are. Very interesting. Now, in regards to dry foods, for example, I talked on the phone the other day with someone from the Frum family, and I think that's the biggest difference I want to get across to people is that when someone calls me on the phone from that company, hi, it's so-and-so, and I'm like, oh, you're like the owner of the company, cool, and you can talk. So I think that's a big difference is, I mean, with a massive company, of course no one, I mean, what is the CEO going to do, sit there and talk to 1,000 people a day?
Right.
So they put protocol in place. However, there is a difference in the information being presented from some of these major companies versus the smaller companies. Even if you're speaking to the CEO or not, there's a level of information, secrecy, transparency that separates these companies. Like, I think there's a Rawls company, R-A-W-Z, which makes dry foods and maybe freeze-dried foods, but I don't know by heart. Carnivore
is a baked kibble.
Yeah.
It's very, very nice.
And you can get on these websites and figure out, like, I think Open Farm, for example, does more sourcing transparency. But, I mean, I haven't been there to the facility or anything. But just getting on the Frum website or the Rawls website, it's just very clear information where the food is made, what the ingredients are, et cetera. I think Lotus was one that called me as well.
That's another baked.
These are all the companies that I would love to speak to them. What is their approach to making, you know, dry food? So, I mean, there, as Dr. Becker says, there's different qualities of dry food. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, there's different qualities of raw food, you know?
And of every type, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the raw food is becoming so popular, and so there are new companies popping up left and right. But, you know, it's up to the consumer to educate themselves and know when they're reading that label, what are they looking at? You know, are they looking at a whole list of synthetic vitamins and minerals, or are they looking at, hey, I can pronounce every one of those ingredients, and they're all whole foods. Like, I know what's in there. And
I think that's my point of making part two as well, is exactly what you just said, which is sort of like, now that it's becoming really, really popular, it's going to become the same industry as it is prior, which is sort of like, well, what are we doing again? You know, because people need to catch your attention in order for you to get their product. So some people have the best intentions. Other people need it in order to, I mean, get your money. So
and you know, even with the you know, with the raw food market, there's some really good ones out there. There's some really bad ones out there. And so one of the things that FDA has blatantly said they will not enforce, even though it is against the law, is the use of 4D meats in food. And so whether you're buying if I'm going to buy 4D meat, I think I'd rather see that be rendered and cooked, so at least we're getting rid of all the disgusting stuff, except that, you know, then we get all kinds of toxins released when it's cooked at those high heats. It, you know, it, that is another whole problem. But using 4D meats in a raw food is just as horrendous. And so, you know, having a conversation, whoever you're going to choose, you kind of need to have that conversation and say, well, where do you source your meats? And they may or may not give you a truthful answer on that.
The same rules for the kibble companies apply to the raw food companies. So I think, you know, in anticipating where the industry's going, I'm sure that will become common ground at some point for certain companies, you know?
And so now we're getting the kibble that is sprayed with raw. You know, so now they're trying to mix and match.
I think it's funny that it's, like, dehydrated, but then raw is, like, the biggest word. It's like, why not just... It's a dehydrated. It's not rotting in the bag. So it's not, you know, and people have differing of opinions on that too. Well, it's still raw. Well, you
sort
know.
Of maybe, but not really.
Raw is when, I like Dr. Becker, it's like raw is whenever you set it out, maggots will start to grow at some point.
Well, we have 8 dogs and 4 cats in our house, and we raw feed all of our kids, and really, for the most part, now we are grinding our own meats and grinding our own foods, and that's just because I've gotten really frustrated with the pet food industry. And I do have a couple of companies that I will use for convenience sake, because I do trust and like their products, and I know them personally. And they're the companies that you want to go tour their plant. They say, yeah, come on in, no problem, because they have nothing to hide. And those are the people that I like to work with. I recently just published my 4th book. This one's called Yin and Yang Nutrition for Dogs, Maximizing Health with Whole Foods, Not Drugs. And so it's really a bunch of recipes for the people that really want to go that extra mile and say, you know what, I don't trust any of these pet food companies. I'm just going to do it myself. But even that, you know, you've got to know your sourcing and know where you're getting things. And and sometimes that can be difficult, really difficult.
It'll never end.
No.
Moving, and I always tell people, I mean, the one thing I want people to know is stop getting into the mode of, I'm feeding one brand. Brands, of course, want you to feed one brand. Now, from the consumer side, your animal should not be eating one specific thing every single day, unless there's some death-defying or, you know, death-related illness. But you should be eating a variety, feed a variety of brands. And some of, even the raw food brands are made in the same facility using some of the same ingredients, same as dry food. So the branding sort of doesn't matter, you know, because it's kind of the same food. So switching it up and getting different proteins, I mean, that's something everyone should be looking for, instead of just focusing on one, getting locked into that corner of one thing, and then you're going to get upset whenever that one thing has an issue.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, if you're feeding that one thing, I don't care what it says on the bag or box or can as far as, you know, complete and balanced, if it has a micro deficiency and you're feeding, or if it has something toxic in there, because now the Clean Label Project is doing all this testing for heavy metals in a lot of these foods. And so if you're feeding the same thing day in and day out, meal after meal after meal, you're just concentrating all of those toxins because your pet never has the chance to eat anything different. And, you know, we do not feed ourselves that way. And it's just been a great marketing gimmick that the pet food industry has used to convince people that every meal has to be complete and balanced and every meal has to be exactly the
same. I think
and it's
that
so
is the perfect mark. So whenever it's 100% complete and balanced, it's so misleading. It means that it meets the minimum requirements for the animal not to die.
Allegedly.
So, I mean, wouldn't the world be different if that was the approach? So I don't know what the future holds. I know AFCO's not going away without, you know, the screaming and kicking. However, I do find it an interesting approach to for companies to move more sort of in the USDA-inspected type facilities where the products are of human-grade quality, meaning that no questionable ingredient that we've talked about, 4D meats and et cetera, rendered ingredients that have been at high heat, none of that is allowed. Like, that's punishable. So if that is more of the approach, along with, you know, maybe a new version of AFCO, I mean, I don't know how that would play legally. It's not happening overnight. All I'm saying
is... they're not even a legal entity. I mean, they're just... They're a group.
It's not, but it has power because it's in every state. So, I mean, it's in all the 50 states.
It has power, but it has no regulatory authority. So they basically just set guidelines for FDA to follow. So
I just have a... I'm a simple person with a simple question. Since it's marketed as food, it should abide by food...
Rules of food.
...laws.
Yeah.
Now, if it's marketed as feed, put it on the label, pet feed.
Right. Yeah, we tried that. They laughed us out of the room. They said there was no way
they
would ever do
that. Of course they would, but
all I'm saying is... They said there was no way they would ever do it. And, you know, I just want truth in labeling. So if you're going to use rendered products, you're going to use 4D meats, then I wanted to say in the ingredient list, hey, we used 4D meats, and then we rendered the heck out of them, and it's dead. And then we added a bunch of chemicals to make it complete and balanced.
Yeah,
but
that'd
they'll
be
never
truthful.
Do it. It would be
that's,
truthful, that's but we're
truthful,
never going to get that.
Truthful, but not... sellable.
Exactly.
I think I might buy that. I had I know we're probably time to wrap up, but I had a thing with, and I just have to mention it. But this is how things work, is I see an ad from a company, and I normally don't like the name companies, but I will, Halo Pet Food, where they have a digestibility proven superiority test that they've done. And so it's like, oh my God, a kibble company's talking about digestibility? Then what did you test? And they're only talking about themselves and their competitors. So it becomes more of a marketing approach versus actual reality of digestibility and bioavailability of foods and ingredients. So they just did a little testing to put something on their back to market, but they completely cannot or will not talk with me about the full scope of digestibility. So if you're starting to talk about it with dry foods, well, what is your digestibility compared to fresher foods? Well,
exactly.
We didn't test that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is an example that... You know, if I go and research and that's the responses I'm getting, it's sort of like, what are you doing as a company? What's your goal there? It's obviously just to market
it's
yourself
marketing.
It's sort of like the Blue Buffalo questioning ingredients. Well, it's better to question ingredients than not, but that's a marketing campaign. You know,
exactly.
You can't forget that. So.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Cole, this has been fascinating. Thank you for the work that you're doing. I look forward to the second movie. And if you haven't seen the original Pet Fooled, go get it today. Until next week, take good care of your pets.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.